from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in our next hour, our election 2016 coverage continues. California's Proposition 61 would cap what state programs pay for prescription drugs to the lowest price paid by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Proponents say the measure would save the state hundreds of millions of dollars a year and may even lower drug costs for private insurers. Opponents argue that the measure could reduce consumer access to certain drugs. We'll hear from KQED's health reporter and check in with both sides of the proposition. That's Prop 61 after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of this morning's Forum program. In this hour, we continue our election coverage with discussion and debate on California's Proposition 61, the Drug Price Relief Act. The measure is designed to lower prescription drug prices by prohibiting state programs, such as Medi-Cal, from paying more for a drug than the lowest price paid by the Federal Department of Veterans Affairs, which presently gets large discounts. Proponents, including the California Nurses Association and the AARP, argue that the measure will save hundreds of millions of state dollars and lower prices. The California Medical Association called the proposition deeply flawed and unworkable, while pharma companies, which have raised over $86 million in opposition, argue that the proposition could reduce patient access to medicine. In this Forum Hour, we take up the debate, and first we go to California's KQED's California Report health reporter, April Dombowski, who joins us here in studio. April, welcome.
Thank you.
Let's begin by finding out, I try to give a brief description there, but we don't want to get in the weeds here, but what is this proposition?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, this is would apply to some of the state programs that California taxpayers help fund. So health programs for current retired state employees, health care for prison inmates, and then some of the low-income residents covered by the Medi-Cal program, not all. And so California spent about $3.8 billion in the last fiscal year on prescription drugs for people covered by those programs. And so what Proposition 61 wants to do is help to reduce those costs. So as you said, it would limit what those programs can pay to what the VA pays. The VA has about 9 million people that it provides care for. And so it's been able to negotiate pretty significant discounts from drug manufacturers. And so the proposition wants to basically, you know, borrow that discount and apply it to California programs.
And the sense is here that it would, presumably, we'll hear from the pro people who say that it would help taxpayers who are carrying a lot of this cost burden as well. But according to legislative analyst office, it's unclear as in terms of money saving.
Yeah, the LAO wasn't able to come to draw a really specific conclusion about whether it would actually result in meaningful savings to the state. And that's for a couple of reasons. One is some VA data isn't publicly available. And
it's not exactly transparency, is it?
No, I think the pro side actually got the data from, you know, Public Records Act requests. And so there's a concern that it wouldn't be possible for California to follow the law to the letter. But they also said, well, you know, courts have in the past granted latitude about how you implement propositions. And so it might be possible to allow the state to charge the lowest known price that's paid by the VA. But I think the real uncertainty is how the pharmaceutical industry would respond. And so the LAO had drawn some concerns that perhaps
they would just raise prices.
Perhaps they would just raise what the VA pays. And so then that would, you know, apply to state programs. Or there's also a concern that perhaps they just wouldn't agree to, you know, sell the drugs for those prices. And perhaps those drugs wouldn't be available to some of the healthcare programs.
One hears the argument, I hear it a lot, that propositions get on the ballot because the legislature failed or was ineffectual in terms of acting. But there has been, particularly with some transparency bills, an attempt to maybe move forward on this front. California Assembly Health Committee, for example, approved a Senate-passed bill that would require drug makers to give advance notice of big prices and also increased justification for those prices. So one
actually, that bill didn't make it.
It's down. It's defeated. Okay, mm-hmm. That's what I wanted to clarify. Is the legislature doing anything on this front then that you know of?
Well, I mean, I think that you're talking about Senate Bill 1010, and that was the latest attempt. And I think there was a lot of hope around that measure, but it just got, you know, completely gutted in one of the final committees to the point where the proponents just withdrew the bill. So I think it speaks to there's a lot of consumer frustration around this. You know, the spikes in various drug prices have been in the news and people are frustrated.
So people are going broke. They're taking out their retirement savings accounts, to pay for drugs.
Yes.
Literally.
Yeah. Compromising what they pay for rent, splitting pills.
And there's big money in this. Pharma's putting in big money in terms of the anti-side. I mean, they're talking about precedents and so forth. But usually when that much money goes into a proposition, it's rare to beat it. But in this case, I'm interested not in having you prognosticate, but I was interested in what the polls are showing. The polls are showing actually that Republicans, Democrats, for the most part in the state, support this proposition.
Yeah. The only poll that I was able to find was something that was...
This is a Tolchin poll?
...was conducted by the proponents of the... it was commissioned by the proponents of the proposition. And so it was something like... 70% of people.
71%, 76%, depending on what. Mm-hmm. 71 for Republicans, or 70 and 77 for Democrats. But you know, it's trying to at least present a nonpartisan view here of support.
It's hard to say. I mean, I've seen a lot of propositions that started out with that kind of support, and then once you kind of get to the actual voting day, a lot of those propositions don't make it. So it's really hard to say.
Well, we are going to hear a debate on this proposition. And April, thank you so much for joining us. April Dembowski, who is health reporter for California Report here at KQED. And let me introduce a couple of people who are going to be talking, whether the pro and con sides. Kathy Fairbanks is here in studio with us. She's on the opposition side, spokesperson for No on Prop 61 campaign. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
And on the pro side, we have from Sacramento, Roger Salazar, who is spokesperson for Yes on Prop 61 campaign. And we welcome you to the program. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. And let's begin with you on the pro side. There's a lot of outrage about price increases. Think about that $1,000 a pill that caused such a furor over Hep C. We're really talking about here drug increases have gone about 10% a year. Will this put a lid on it? Is this what you're saying is actually in the
proposition? I think that's the hope. Again, as you know, healthcare costs are sharply increasing, and I have personally experienced this with my father, who's going through chemotherapy, and seeing the outrageous prices of the treatments that are out there, and drug prices are the fastest growing component of the healthcare costs going up. So as they continue to skyrocket, we've been seeing examples, and you've been seeing them in the news almost on a daily basis, of drug companies raising prices at will, jacking prices up. The latest one was the EpiPen incident, even on decades-old drugs.
But Roger, forgive me, if this proposition passes, you still have, don't you? We spoke about this with our health reporter, the possibility, if not the likelihood, of prices being jacked up to cover it.
Well, remember that there is nothing in Proposition 61, and your reporter did a really good job of describing what it is. But there is nothing in Proposition 61, that would do any of that. All of those things are threats, by the pharmaceutical industry. And frankly, we've seen them do this kind of thing before. They'll tell you about, the last time that somebody tried to tie prices to the VA levels back in the 90s, the industry responded by jacking up prices. But then Congress responded by, slapping that down and putting this 24%, cap on it. If the industry tries to make good on their threats, I think they risk even raising the ire of the public and, of the legislators, who at this point aren't doing anything to actually end up doing something about it. There is, like I said, the idea here from our perspective is that this thing is going to lower drug prices, and even the drug industry executives themselves see this as you know as something that they're concerned about. They're not spending $100 million because they believe you know that prices are going to go up or the drugs are not going to be as available. They're spending $100 million because they know that prices are going to go down.
Well, we're going to hear from Kathy Fairbanks, who doesn't represent pharma and has other reasons that she's going to articulate about opposing this. But a lot of people are just asking a question: how would this measure work, and how would it be put into practice? If I could put that to you, Roger Salazar, before
Again, I thought you were asking Kathy.
We're going to go to her just a moment. But
that's fine. You know, the measure. You know, again, the only thing that it does is you know it requires the state of California to negotiate with drug companies for drug prices that are no more than is paid by the Department of Veterans Affairs. You know, the Drug Price Relief Act, this Prop 61, empowers the state as the healthcare buyer for millions of Californians to negotiate, you know, that deal with taxpayers. Now, again, the state now spends about $4 billion, you know, paying for drugs in California. And if we were able to reduce that price, that you know, to get the same price that we get from the VA gets, you know, that's a savings of up to $1 billion for California taxpayers.
Kathy Fairbanks, is going to save money?
No, it actually won't. And the independent experts have looked at Proposition 61, including the legislative analyst, as April mentioned, found that it's a very complicated measure. And in fact, the LAO, the legislative analyst, identified ways in which Proposition 61 could actually increase state health care costs for the Medi-Cal fee-for-service program.
How is that?
Because today California's the fee-for-service program today gets discounts from pharmaceutical manufacturers for the drugs that they provide to Medi-Cal patients. Under Proposition 61, if this should take effect, it could set off a chain reaction, which could mean that the state would lose those discounts, which amount to about $100 million a year. That was the estimate for the fiscal.
That's what Big Pharma's putting in.
It's money that is used to provide services to the Medi-Cal fee-for-service patients. These are drugs that the state still would be forced to buy. They would lose the discounts, thus increasing the prices for the state. CalPERS looked at Proposition 61, and this is a direct quote from their analysis. It could decrease access to certain drugs for CalPERS members. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Well, they did say there were possible cost savings, I believe, CalPERS said.
They actually said they could face increased administrative costs.
Well, they said it would be hard to administer, which is really also what we're talking about
here.
And they had certain concerns that you've touched on. But Consumers Union, for example, didn't take a position because of questions on cost and access.
Right. I mean, I think that's very telling. It's unclear how Proposition 61 will save consumers money, save state taxpayers money, how it will be implemented in California. It will likely lead to litigation and bureaucracy and red tape. The VA has estimated that it could increase the U.S. VA, the Veterans Affairs Administration, cost by $3.8 billion a year, which then could impact veterans. That's why every leading veteran organization in California is opposed to Proposition 61. In short, it just won't work. And the independent experts that have looked at this have all raised red flags. And I think this discussion is illuminating as well. It's very confusing, and it just won't work.
Well, let me find out what our listeners have to say. And I know many of you have strong feelings probably about this proposition. It's gotten a lot of attention, deservedly so, because well, for one thing, it is controversial, and there are strong, as you can hear, voices on both sides. It's also something that you may have questions about, and we invite you to join us now. I should say that list prices are not necessarily indicative of what payers are paying. There are lots of rebates, but also there's a good deal of aggression by pharma in this to pay and some are arguing that a lot of the money that they're putting into this is because of they have to pay for their own research and development. But let me give you the phone number and invite you to join us. Our toll-free number is available to you, and we do welcome your calls. You can join us now at that toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. Again, you can phone in at 866-733-6786, or you can email us, and we do welcome your emails as well, forum@kqed.org, or put questions or comments right onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. And you can also communicate with us by tweeting us. Our Twitter handle is at KQED Forum. Roger Salazar with us from Sacramento, spokesperson for Yes on Prop 61, and Kathy Fairbanks here in studio, spokesperson for No on Prop 61. And you may want to indeed let us know what your opinion is or what your concerns are, or simply raise any questions again or comments you have. Let me go to a comment from Beth, who says, if Prop 61 passes, won't insurance companies raise premiums to cover the increased costs they have to cover for the drugs, or knock some of the drugs off the list of drugs they will cover? And what's to keep drug companies from simply not allowing some of their drugs to be sold in California? Roger Salazar.
Well, again, like I said, everybody needs to clearly understand the only way this, the drug crisis could go up under this measure is if pharma itself raises those prices to punish the state and the taxpayers for passing the initiative. There's nothing in the measure, that would lead to already outrageous drug prices going up. The only way that could happen is if the drug companies themselves attempt to raise the prices. So, claims. By the pharmaceutical industry are not predictions. They're just threats, pure and simple. And again, I just don't think that we as taxpayers should succumb to the blackmail by one of the most rapacious industries in America. The evidence of what this measure can do, again, and I'll just say this again, if you just listen to the industry itself, when they're talking about this behind the scenes, in their own publications, they say that an action like what's going to happen here in California if this measure passes, would no doubt cause an immediate demand for the same discount to be made available in other states, the federal government, private entities. In short, adoption of VA pricing by the state of California, they say, would be a drug pricing disaster for the entire U.S. drug industry. So they understand, this is going to have the impact of lowering prices for everybody eventually.
Kathy Fairbanks, you're not here to defend Big Pharma. You're in opposition for your own reasons, which we can hear perhaps as the hour progresses. But fact of the matter is, a lot of people are very distrustful of Big Pharma. I think Mr. Salazar kind of indicated where some of that distrust emanates from. What do you say about that? Because they are putting a lot of money into this to make sure, in fact, that it goes down.
That is true. And I want to clarify, I am representing the No on Proposition 61 Coalition. This is a group of 150, more than 150 groups, actually, veterans, patients, physicians, business groups, community groups, and others who've evaluated Proposition 61 and come to the conclusion that it won't work.
It includes a lot of taxpayers who have.
It includes a lot of taxpayers as well, right? And back to your question, I get it. It's very, very easy to attack the pharmaceutical industry. There are a lot of headlines out there, and it's a big fat target. But the issue before voters is whether or not Proposition 61 will work. And independent experts, the legislative analysts, the VA, CalPERS, even HIV and AIDS groups who have no stake in this beyond evaluating the measure themselves, the San Francisco AIDS Foundation, Los Angeles LGBT Center, Project Inform, and AIDS Project LA, they evaluated Proposition 61, wrote up a white paper, and raised a lot of concerns about benefits trickling down to consumers. How are we going to make sure that happens? They actually worried that Proposition 61 could actually be detrimental to low-income patients who rely on the state's Medi-Cal program to receive health care, and that HIV and AIDS drugs. They said this could actually make them worse off. You'd think that those groups in particular would be on the side of the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, which is sponsoring Proposition 66, but they're not. They're raising red flags about it because it just won't work.
Now, you mentioned that veterans organizations are all on the other side. Has the VA actually weighed in on Prop 61? Couldn't this impact the pricing they get?
Yes, actually, the VA did weigh in, and they evaluated Proposition 61. It was before it had a number. This was a few months ago, but they estimated that Proposition 61 could increase costs that the VA pays annually for drugs by $3.8 billion a year, with a B.
Now,
well, let me go to your calls. Now, and by the way, you can join us at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. But Roger Salazar, you had an opposition.
Yeah, the one thing I will say is that VA memo that Kathy talks about the VA analyzing this, it was in a memo that they were putting together to try and figure out how they would combat any sort of potential jacking up of prices by by the drug industry. So they were trying to lay out a defense for any sort of the outrageous actions that the pharmaceutical industry would want to take.
All right, we get a caller on. Joshua, that's you. You're on.
Yes. Hi. So my question is, California being such a large economy and the state, why aren't they able to negotiate better drug prices, and how is this measure going to help them negotiate better drug prices, and why do they need this?
Or will they, let's take that last question first. Roger Salazar, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think first and foremost, I think, that's part of the frustration that I think, not that we feel here in California and all across the country, frankly, when it comes to drug price. We can't even in the state of California, pass a transparency measure, much less anything else that deals with price controls and related to the pharmaceutical industry. The reason that the Department of Veterans Affairs, has the price that they have is because it's mandated by Congress. It's not because the drug industry, because the VA is so good at negotiating that they got that discount. It's because it's mandated by Congress. We don't have the same sort of thing here in California. And frankly, one of the biggest problems that we're having when we took a look at trying to figure out what each agency paid for drugs, we asked a number of agencies, what their price points were on a number of drugs that were on all their formularies. We couldn't get a response from anybody. We had to do a Public Records Act request, which was denied. And in fact, it was one of the reasons that the LAO and CalPERS and others, when they're trying to evaluate this measure, can't really do an honest evaluation, is because they have no idea what the agencies are paying for drugs. So think about that. The state of you as a taxpayer, are not allowed to know what the state is paying for the drugs that they purchase, up to $4 billion worth. So it's a huge problem for us.
It is a huge
this
problem.
Measure will simpl- yeah.
No,
yeah,
I'm sorry. This measure, go ahead, finish your thought.
Yeah, this measure will simplify things by saying that the state of California simply will not pay. It will pay no more than is paid for the same drugs by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. It's just that simple.
And some of you may remember that Bernie Sanders got into this whole issue when he was running for presidency.
Yep, and he's actually endorsed this measure here in California.
Well, one of the problems with the measure—
As has the California Nurses Association and the American Association of Retired People,
yeah, I've mentioned,
and Vote Vets and other groups.
Mentioned those in my introduction. But we've also got Big Pharma saying we're going to have cost controls here. And Kathy Salazar, Kathy Fairbanks, is that of concern to you? I mean, you raise the specter in many people's minds of cost controls, and they don't like it.
There are a number of things with Proposition 61 that the pharmaceutical industry and the groups that are opposed have problems with. And I want to go back to something that we touched on a little bit ago and Roger addressed and correct something. The state of California the state of California does negotiate with drug companies for the drugs that it purchases. So to say that that doesn't happen is untrue. The state's Medi-Cal director, who is in charge of negotiating those drug prices, actually said that he thinks that the state of California already gets, or at least the Medi-Cal program that he oversees, already gets prices that are, as good as the VA price. So
if that's the case, then why are they opposed to this measure? And why would they spend $100 million?
Let's just finish your thought, Roger, please.
And so that's not exactly accurate. As it relates to the supporters and the funders of Proposition 61, I want to go back to the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. If this is really about benefiting the state of California, why did they exempt the Medi-Cal managed care program, which has 10 million participants? It's the largest state program by far, and it's exempt.
Well, we are going to a break, and I want to give listeners again an opportunity to weigh in here. We're talking about Prop 61, the Drug Price Relief Act, and it would prohibit state programs from paying more for prescription drugs than the rate paid by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Join us at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or put your questions or comments on our website, kqed.org/forum, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. We'll continue this debate with Roger Salazar and Kathy Fairbanks when we return. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We are continuing our 2016 California election coverage, talking this hour about Proposition 61, the Drug Price Relief Act. We spoke earlier with April Dembowski, who is health reporter for KQED's California Report, and we're continuing a debate now with Roger Salazar, who is joining us from Sacramento, spokesperson for Yes on Prop 61, and Kathy Fairbanks, who's here with us in studio, spokesperson for No on 61. We are going to go to your calls and your emails. In fact, let me go to a couple of comments first. This is Robert, who writes, "Seems to me that at one end of commerce, goods and services are treated under laws, free enterprise, subject to antitrust statutes, the Sherman Antitrust Act, and so on. At the other end, goods and services are treated as utilities, operated as monopolies under much stricter rules. Do we now need to treat the pharmaceutical industry more like a public utility?" And Dan writes, "If certain drugs became unavailable here, I'm guessing one could order them online or take a trip across state lines." And something to think about there. Let me go to your calls, and let's go to Ruth Ann first. Ruth Ann, join us. You're on the air.
Good morning. I have a question. I'm the first person who would want to jump on the bandwagon opposing anything that Big Pharma is endorsing. But my question, I'd like to fact check, find out factually, is how would folks like me be impacted if I'm a Medicare beneficiary and I was pushed into the Medicare Part D prescription drug plan from the Medicare Modernization Act back in 2003, and so I'm forced to purchase prescriptions through private plans on the basically the open market. And I had a prescription that came through that I needed a daily injection that cost like $30,000, and Eli Lilly is going to town on it, which is one of the reasons I'm opposed to Big Pharma. I'm wondering, how would folks in my position who have to use Medicare Part D be impacted by this, if at all?
Okay. Roger Salazar, you're the pro guy.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of information there. So basically, again, the measure, if it's the state of California that's paying for the drugs, again, they'd already get a 20-24%. They'd get the DBA price, which is 20-24% less than is paid for by other government agencies. Now there are some programs, again, and Kathy talked about Medi-Cal managed care, being exempted. Now Medi-Cal managed care bases their cost of care on the fee-for-service program, which is not exempted. So those costs were going to – so as the fee-for-service costs decline, so will Medi-Cal managed care costs decline. So Medi-Cal will pay lower costs on the managed care side as well as a result of this measure. So if she's paying for drugs through private insurance, which it sounds like there's a combination there. Again, ultimately, the goal of this measure, and this is a starting point, to try and lower drug prices. The goal of this measure is to cause a demand for others, who are paying for drugs, whether it's private insurers or other government agencies, to want the same to demand the same discount. And again, that's something that the pharmaceutical industry readily acknowledges would happen if this thing passed. So we ultimately believe that that this will end up lowering costs for everybody.
All right, let me hear from the no side, from Kathy Fairbanks.
This is a very simple answer. The caller will not be affected by Proposition 61 at all. In fact, it doesn't affect Medicare. It doesn't affect people with private health care through their employer. It doesn't affect anyone on covered California. It doesn't affect teachers, anyone associated with a school district or local governments. It doesn't affect people without insurance. And the biggest loophole that we identified earlier is it doesn't affect the Medi-Cal managed care program, which is far and away the largest healthcare program in California. And I want to speak to that for a moment, because the funders' motives should be examined a little bit more closely. The AIDS Healthcare Foundation is a billion-dollar worldwide organization. They made $800 million last year in 2015, according to their own financial records, from drug and pharmacy sales. They generate revenue in California from drug and pharmacy sales, and they also operate a healthcare program that is part of the state's Medi-Cal managed care program. So why then they exempted Medi-Cal managed care, meaning now their own organization doesn't have to comply with the very measure they are bankrolling? why.
Well, and that's just simply not true.
That is exactly true.
No, listen, Kathy.
True.
Are you going to let me defend my client? I'm much more readily willing to associate myself with my client than you are with yours. But listen, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation is a health service provider. It's been for providing services for AIDS patients. It is a non-profit organization. It is a non-profit organization.
And they make a lot of money from prescription drugs.
It pays for the drugs that it, it doesn't make any sense for you to say the AIDS Healthcare Foundation does not manufacture drugs. They purchase the drugs same as everybody else does.
And they're
It doesn't make sense for them to have to raise prices on themselves on the drug on the purchases that they pay for. Again, like I said, Medi-Cal managed care programs are based on the cost of fee-for-service programs, which is covered by this initiative. So they also would get a discount on this. Again, it doesn't make any sense for a nonprofit to want to pay more for the drugs that they purchase. It's just simply a red herring. They want to sort of throw up a smokescreen. And again, I would put the AIDS Healthcare Foundation up against Pfizer, Pharma, Merck, all of the organizations that are paying your salary, for this measure. Any day of the week.
All right, we got a lot of questions, but let me go back to Kathy Fairbanks.
If this were the case, Roger, then why even exempt managed care in the first place? I mean, if this is an initiative that is supposed to provide the state with purchasing power and give the state more options, why exempt the largest state healthcare program in California?
It's a very simple thing, Kathy, and you know this already. That the managed care program negotiates their prices already. Having them have to negotiate twice. Didn't make a lot of sense. But
I want to bring our callers into this because lots of people want to weigh in. In fact, I'm looking at a tweet here from JC who says, why not just provide all Californians an option to purchase drugs from Canada or the EU? Let's go to Patsy. Patsy, you're on.
Hi there. I'm a former health economist from the VA, and I just want to, as much as I'm supportive of dealing with the price issues and the cost issues, dealing with the VA data is really complicated. You know, it's not like the VA negotiates one price for one drug that's good all the way across the country or even all the way across California. Every VISN or region negotiates its own price. Those prices change monthly, and there are millions of drugs. And so the complexity of dealing with this is just enormous. It speaks to the complexity of figuring out what anybody pays for drugs.
No, that's a good point, Patsy. And again, an argument for why we need transparency and why we need it.
Yes, absolutely.
But let me read a few more comments here. Certainly comments coming down against Big Pharma. A listener writes, this sounds like extortion from Big Pharma. If they have control of the tap, it's not surprising they can predict any limitations of availability. Ben writes, the fear-mongering by the drug companies is disgraceful. Over and over, we hear the same tired arguments, and for the same reason, prices just keep going up, and consumers keep getting milked. Big Pharma has held record-breaking profits this year, and it all comes from the backs of the sick and the old. Just wondering, though, about the data on this. Are drug costs really going up? So I thought they stabilized for a while there. Anybody shed some light from either side on this?
Well, again, all you have to do is look at the headlines, and that'll tell you that they have skyrocketed, and that's one of the reasons that the AARP, who supports Proposition 61, has jumped on board. They've been trying for years at the federal level to get something done about skyrocketing costs of prescription drugs, and have been unable to do so. And frankly, said looked at Prop 61.
Well, we read about the gouging, we read about Turing and Valiant and those kind of companies, but the fact of the matter
and you've heard. This from not just you've heard this from the presidential candidates. Even Donald Trump has talked about prescription drug prices, and I don't even and I'm not even associating myself with him that one way or the other.
Do we know if he's on any prescriptions? We can't find that out because we can't get his medical records.
We can't find that out exactly.
Or his tax returns.
Hillary Clinton has been very outspoken about the high prices of drugs, and Bernie Sanders and his new organization, Our Revolution, has endorsed Proposition 61 for those same reasons. So. It is a problem. It is something that people are very, very concerned about.
Yeah, but Kathy Fairbanks doesn't think necessarily this is going to reduce the cost of drugs. I mean,
right.
The legislative analysts don't know if it's going to reduce the cost.
And if it doesn't, then why are they spending the money? If they think it's going to do nothing, and they're not, and they or that it's going to help increase their profits by raising prices, why would they be spending this kind of money against it?
They have a lot of dogs in this fight. Nobody's going to deny that. But let me get another caller on here. And Jessica, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning. How's everyone doing?
We're well, thank you.
You want a health report because we can't get one from Trump. We can get one from all three of us. No, go ahead, Jessica, please.
Yes, I am. I guess my question is more directed towards Ms. Fairbanks. I can see how in regards to research and development for new drugs, that cost may go up. But how does one justify cost increases on drugs that have been on the market for 40 plus years besides corporate greed?
As I said earlier, I understand that people are very frustrated with drug costs and healthcare costs as well.
And justifiably enraged.
And enraged. Yeah. But I get Proposition 61 isn't going to address the problem in California. And voters, when they take a look at Proposition 61, have to look at it as, is this going to address the problem? No. The experts have looked at it and have come to the conclusion that it won't work. And, you know, going back to the California Medical Association that is opposed to Proposition 61, they have said, look, we want to lower drug prices. Proposition 61 isn't the answer. A lot of the supporters who are opposed to Proposition 61 actually supported the bill moving through the legislature, SB 1010, that would have increased transparency. They supported that bill, but they're against Proposition 61 because Proposition 61 won't work. It's a flawed solution. And I have yet to hear anything from Roger explaining why the LAO is wrong, why CalPERS is wrong, saying that the initiative could lead to decreased access to medicine for its members, why the VA is wrong when it says that Prop 61 could increase its cost by $3.8 billion a year, and why Consumers Union isn't supporting, why the San Francisco AIDS Foundation isn't supporting.
Well, let me go bore into this in a certain way with you, Roger Salazar. She mentioned the CMA, and the CMA has gone on the record as saying it could actually raise what's being charged the VA and the commercial health plans.
Well, let's just keep in mind that that the CMA gets a lot of its funding through their foundation and other places from the pharmaceutical industry, as do a number of their doctors. They have an interest in this as well. I'm looking at what the nurses have been talking about. I'm looking at what the AARP, who represent people who are actually paying for for pharmaceutical products are concerned about, both of those organizations have come out and strongly in support of Proposition 61 because they feel it'll end up doing something about the high price of drugs that their patients and their members pay.
I want to read another comment by a listener, and then I've got a question for you from a listener, Kathy Salazar. I did that again, didn't I? Kathy Fairbanks, excuse me. I just want to get you two married off.
Yeah, Roger Fairbanks in there every once in a while.
But you keep your maiden name. Listener writes, I said it before, we don't need health insurance. We need health care. Let's get rid of the middleman. Transparency. Can you clarify? The VA doesn't want this because they suspect drug companies will raise prices? And
I just have to keep going back to this, and this is the same thing. When CalPERS looked at this and LAO looked at this, Kathy is right about one thing. There is uncertainty because they are looking at potentially the threats that have been coming out from the pharmaceutical industry. The pharmaceutical industry, saying they're going to pull out of a $4 billion market in California. That's a threat. It's not in this measure. The drug industry saying that prices. There'll be cost shifting for Californians. Again, that's a threat. That's not in this measure. The drug industry saying that prices paid by others in the state could go up. That's a threat. That's not in this measure. None of those things are in this measure. So Kathy asking me to defend how I know that pharma isn't going to do what they're threatening to do is interesting. But these are things that can only be perpetrated by the drug industry. And does it create some uncertainty for the LAO and CalPERS when they're trying to look at the and evaluate this measure? Probably. And CalPERS, one of the biggest concerns that they had, which that we thought was very interesting, was that they would have to the way pharmaceuticals are purchased in California is very spread out. There's no centralized mechanism of doing it, and they have to create a centralized way of doing it. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. And would it cost a little bit up front? Maybe. But I think Californians deserve to have a streamlined system of purchasing drugs and be able to know exactly how much they're paying for it and be able to pay the lowest price that's available out there.
Roger Salazar, you made a number of points. I want Kathy Fairbanks to respond, please.
I'd like to respond to the first point about what could happen if Proposition 61 passes. And I want to go back to 1990 when a policy similar to this was tried at the federal level. It was mentioned a bit earlier where the VA pricing was extended to other agencies at the federal level. Prices to the VA went up. We have historical evidence that this is what happened, cause and effect. We have the same situation right now. Proposition 61, cause, there could be an effect. The VA has estimated that effect at $3.8 billion. There's nothing in Proposition 61 that says that it can't happen. And I think Roger would acknowledge that. The question then becomes, what happens in California? And what happens to patients? What happens to state taxpayers? The legislative analyst has said that state costs could go up. And on the patient end, CalPERS has said that their enrollees could be hit with decreased access to certain medicines. The HIV and AIDS groups also have raised red flags. And when I say, Roger, I appreciate you trying to respond to my question about the LAO and CalPERS. And again, it didn't answer the question. How are they wrong? And that's not us saying it. It's independent experts saying that Proposition 61 could lead to these unintended consequences.
All right. I want to get another caller in here. And I said there was a question for you. Megan, you're on the air.
Hi. I had a question that was directed at Kathy, but it might be directed at the two of them. So my curiosity is that I'm hearing that it's not going to work. There's all these things that are wrong with it. But I'm not hearing any fixes for it. There obviously is a really big problem with pricing of pharmaceuticals. My mom is on really expensive medications. I have a lot of family members that are on really expensive medications. And with increased cost of living and everything else that's going on, there needs to be a fix. And I'm not hearing a fix. I'm just hearing a lot of arguing.
All right, let me go back to Kathy Fairbanks.
I think there's two things. Number one, I think you're right, and I think what you're hearing is us arguing whether Proposition 61 will work.
I have to intervene for just a second. I was looking at a comment from a listener who says, 40 minutes into the program, I'm just not able to comprehend any of it. Just shows how complex and messed up the whole healthcare pharma issue is.
Well, that was my next point. I think any big picture changes need to take into account all factors in the healthcare system. I mean, you mentioned your mother, you've got insurers, you've got the pharmaceutical manufacturers, you've got pharmacy benefit managers, you've got retailers like the Rite Aids and the Walgreens of the world, you've got wholesalers. All of these players are part of this whole entire system, and perhaps that is where the discussion should start. Certainly not with Proposition 61. I mean, that's the main point I want to make. This is a complicated issue. Drug pricing and purchasing in general is very, very complicated. They've tied it to the VA, which has its own set of issues and complications, and it just will not work. Proposition 61 isn't going to benefit people in California.
Well, quick question before I take another call on Roger Salazar. Beth simply wants to know, has any other state passed a similar proposition? And if so, what's been the result?
No other state has passed a similar proposition.
Okay,
right.
Just want to get that on the record. Let me get another caller in. David, that's you.
Yep, that's me. Good morning to all. Mike, it's really a comment. I used to be part of the pharmaceutical industry, and they have a lot of issues with pricing. I think they are corrupt, but I also think we have the safest medications in the world. I think Proposition 61 won't work, but I think it has to also come from federal government being more speedy in processing drug applications. The cost of actually getting something to market is insane, and I think that the people are suffering. I think both sides are corrupt. I don't mean necessarily fiscally, but they have got their own points of view, and I think that we, the people, like the gun lobby, we, the people, are suffering for it. I think they both need to sit down and work something out between them that works for the people. I think people are forgetting we, the people in America, are the ones suffering, and the corporations and government are the ones winning.
Well, David, I appreciate your point of view. I'm going to let it stand as an editorial comment, and I'm going to try to get another quick caller on here, and that's Neil. Neil, we thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my call. I've got two comments that I want to make. One is, I am very close to somebody who works in the what they call the pricing group or the price economy for one of the largest pharma companies in the world. And the way the pharma company sets price is they pull price out of thin air. It has absolutely nothing to do with cost of goods sold, absolutely has nothing to do with how much money was spent developing it, what it will cost. The only criteria for price setting for pharmaceutical companies, and absolutely nobody will deny this, is what will the market pay for it? What can the consumer pay for it? And that is the only criteria. And number two, I'd like to add that the representative from the pharmaceutical industry is sitting there talking about the pricing will go up, the pricing will go up. The pricing is going up anyway, every year. There's no difference. Let's try it and find out. If it doesn't work, we can come back in a couple of years and try and fix it. But you're standing here trying to prevent the solution from coming in, from even being tried, tells me that it's going to work. And that's my comment.
All right. We thank you for that comment and appreciate hearing from you here. And I'm looking at a comment from a listener named Sam who writes, is there a discussion about where Medi-Cal patients are actually purchasing their drugs? It isn't like people are going to AstraZeneca, that's a pharmaceutical company, to the office and buying their drugs there. What about negotiating a markup that CVS or wherever Medi-Cal patients are purchasing their drugs can charge? You want to say something about that, Kathy?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And it speaks to any long-term way to address this is going to have to include all players in the healthcare system. Proposition 61 doesn't get us there. And going back to the previous caller, I hear the frustration, but Proposition 61 isn't going to make things even incrementally better. The independent nonpartisan legislative analyst has said that Proposition 61 could increase costs for the Medi-Cal fee-for-service program. Now, I get that, you know, he's frustrated that costs seem to keep going up. This could make matters worse, not better. That's why it's not even a good incremental approach.
You're listening to Forum, and if you've just joined us, we're talking to Kathy Fairbanks and Roger Salazar, who are debating the Drug Price Relief Act. And this is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. And we'll go to another caller. Kate joins us from Castro Valley. Kate, you're on.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a registered nurse, and I deal with a lot of low-income patients. And
I'm sorry? Did we lose you?
And
no.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, you went out there for a minute, but go ahead, please.
Sorry. So I often refer my low-income patients to get their medications at Walmart, who has done a great job of negotiating a flat fee for a lot of common drugs. And I don't understand when I hear the comments from your discussions that they can't get costs, realistic costs of medications, when Walmart's very transparent and they've done a great job negotiating. How come the state of California can't do the same? I don't understand.
I think that's a
don't
worthy
either.
Question.
And there's
Roger Salazar says he doesn't understand either. Do you, Kathy?
Well, there's nothing in Proposition 61 that is going to change that.
Right.
That's the thing. And
maybe there needs
to be more discussion about more transparency.
I will counter.
But 61 doesn't get us there.
Go ahead and counter.
I'm just going to say again, their own industry, the people who are funding the no campaign are so deeply concerned about this that they're writing to themselves saying, that this measure is going to lower their profits and cause other states to pass similar legislation. So, if this isn't something that's going to lower prices, I don't understand, why they would be as concerned about it as they are, or why they would spend $100 million. They know it's going to lower prices for Californians. They know it ultimately is going to lead to a trend of lowering prices, all across the board. So, don't be fooled, by the pharmaceutical industry and their misinformation campaign.
Well, I'm resistant to bringing up the name of Trump again, but Kathy Fairbanks, what about the argument Donald Trump said to essentially African Americans in Detroit? Look what he got to lose. I mean, this is something that's unprecedented. Why not try it?
because it will have a net negative effect, unintended consequences. If, like I said earlier, if it were going to provide some small margin of benefit, okay, maybe we try. But the legislative analyst, independent, this is not coming from the No on 61 campaign. This is coming from the independent, nonpartisan legislative analyst who identified that costs could go up for state programs. CalPERS, again, not associated with
the campaign.
They also
said they could go down,
right,
though.
But they said it was highly uncertain.
They always
ignore
that part
about
it.
This is highly uncertain.
Highly uncertain is different from the LAO says prices will go up.
CalPERS, again, not associated with our campaign, said that it could increase their administrative costs. And this is a quote. It could lead to decreased access to certain drugs for CalPERS members.
And I'm raising a question here from a listener, which I think is a good one. I'm going to just let it stand. Why does Big Pharma need to recover their research and development costs solely through prices to Americans, lower our prices, achieve parity with other countries? I guess other countries solve their problems in different ways. I mean, a lot of this money profit from Big Pharma does go to R&D, but let me go to another caller, and that's Daniel, who's been waiting patiently. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for waiting.
Yeah, thanks. Good morning. This question, actually, I think has been brought up by Roger Salazar a couple of times. I'm not sure I've heard it directly addressed, and that's, ad campaigns cost a lot of money, particularly political ones, especially this time of year. Now, I don't think Big Pharma would spend this much to shoot down a proposition that wouldn't have any positive effect for consumer on its pricing. To borrow a paraphrase from your producer, my question, if this isn't going to be an effective measure, what are they so worried about?
I'll take that.
Kathy Salazar.
Fairbanks.
Kathy Fairbanks.
This is of concern to the pharmaceutical industry, no doubt about it. This does a number of things. Number one,
Think it would be a bad precedent for number one. Right?
Well, yeah, and it affects the program at the VA, which is a very special program limited to veterans in the United States who get special low prices because they've served our country. And that's a good thing. And I think everyone listening, I think all Californians would agree, we should do everything we can to make sure they get necessary health care and access to whatever they need. But that is a very special program, and Proposition 61 threatens those low prices. It threatens those special discounts that the veterans get today. So that's number one. Number two is that it also, Proposition 61, would set a chain of events in motion that would cause hundreds of contracts at the state of California and at the VA level to be invalidated, or they could be invalidated. All of that means that they this is an administrative nightmare. It creates a lot of uncertainty for the industry. This is why not only the pharmaceutical industry is opposed, but also patient advocacy groups, physicians, veterans, and others who will be hit with the shrapnel from this, this proposition.
Well, we started 61. With pro, we could end with con. But Roger, final word from you. We got seconds left.
Yeah, again, like I said, first of all, the prices for the Veterans Affairs are set by federal statute and federal law. They can only go up the cost of the consumer price at the rate of the consumer price index. That is an empty threat from pharma. And again, this measure is a very simple measure. It requires the state of California to negotiate with drug companies for drug prices for no more than is paid by the same drugs by the Department of Veterans Affairs.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there.
That's why endorsed by the nurses and AARP and others.
All right, thank you, Roger Salazar. Thank you, Kathy Fairbanks. A spirited debate. Now it's up to the voters, and I thank you for being with us. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, Tina Larberg, and Susan Britton. Our engineer today is Howard Gelman. Our engagement producer, Amanda Stupai. And we get online support from Amanda Font. Executive producer is Joanne Wallace. Senior editor is Dan Zoll. Thank you for listening. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and the Bernard Osher Foundation, supporting higher education and the arts.